Welcome in to another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast in the history of podcasting. How about that? Our thanks to DraftKings for being the sponsor, our partners on this podcast, and of course, all things Levitard and Friends. I am super excited. For those of you who have listened to me and us for many, many years, you know how much I love golf. You know how much I love the Masters in particular. You should know that it's my favorite sporting event on the sports calendar. And we are about to speak with two-time Masters champion Bubba Watson. He has a new book out. Really, really fascinating conversation about mental health, about what it was like to win that first Masters championship, that first green jacket. And just a really unique guy, introspective guy, interesting guy, and fun guy. And again, a two-time, not one, okay? That man has two green coats in his closet. I have one that I won back when I was in college. What me and my friends did was we would play EA Sports, Tiger Woods Golf, Sega Genesis. We would play, so Thursday, opening round of the Masters, we would play our opening round. Then we'd do the same thing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we'd play for a green coat that we got at the Salvation Army, and I won it once. How about that? Bubba's got two, I got one. Anyway, Bubba Watson, at one point, had one of the top five golf shots I'd ever seen. I believe it was his second Masters, maybe the 12th hole, 13th hole, out of the woods. A shot that only Bubba Watson could hit. The tournament on the line, the green jacket on the line. Needed a hook, and he hits a hook, and hit just an absolutely incredible, amazing shot to help secure his second green coat. So it was in my top five until a couple things happened. Mike Ryan, Parkland Golf and Country Club, the 11th hole, 140 yards out. He pulled out the driver. And Mike Ryan stuck it 3 inches from the hole. So that became the greatest shot that I have ever seen in the history of golf, which I think at that moment bumped Bubba out of my top five. And then what happened just a few weeks ago, as you all know, Greg Cody on the 10th hole, he was on his third Bloody Mary, just finished his third Bloody Mary, and had his fourth in hand. And Greg Cody from 130 yards out hit an 8-iron that did not leave the ground, okay? With Chris Cody standing right next to the hole, thinking he had won the hole, Greg Cody hits that shot, and we half the hole, and we move on to the 11th, and that is the greatest shot, which bumped Mike to two, which certainly bumped Bubba out. With all that said, two-time Master Champion Bubba Watson is about to join us. I'm super excited for this. He's got a new book out. Listen to his story. Listen to what he has to say, because what he has to say is super important. There's some fun in here, too, but what he has to say is super important. So, Bubba Watson, two-time Masters champion. I got one. He's got two. A couple of Masters champions. Getting ready to cut it up.
So, guys, two quick things before we get to Bubba. First, not the same thing. Second, hiring again? ZipRecruiter finds top talent for you. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And again, not the same thing, your green jacket and his green jacket.
Stupidity. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I have drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Are you chugging that water because you've done so many interviews for this book tour?
Yeah, and I just went to the gym. You know, that was my way to throw in. I went to the gym, so okay. Trying to be hydrated.
What is Bubba Watson doing when he goes to the gym?
There's a place called Exos right here in Gulf Breeze by my house in Pensacola, and they train football players, military, athletes all across the country and the world, and then me. And so the funny part is, though, it's like we're not really focused on making me better as a golfer or making me better or a person better at football. It's the everyday life stuff. It's the make you better everywhere, make all functional movements easier. And obviously they can make you stronger, faster, all those things. Mine's a 5-year process of slow motion kind of stuff.
5 years, though. I mean, that seems like a long time, Bubba.
Right, exactly. Well, I don't want to get into it too fast. I didn't want to go too fast, you know?
Right. Ease into it, yes.
Right, exactly.
I understand that. I am a huge fan. This is a thrill for me. 2-time Masters champion, Bubba Watson, with us here on Stupidity. New book out, Up and Down, Victories and Struggles in the Course of Life. Why'd you decide to write this?
So there was moments after winning the 2012 Masters, that people came to me about writing a book, and I didn't think it was the right timing. And then when the pandemic hit, we were sitting around the house, and I was like, "Hey, we should call the guy that wanted to write my book, Don Yeager." And so we started talking to him and how it would look and what we would do. And this is about the time that you know, Kevin Love came out with some mental stuff. Then Michael Phelps, those were the two that hit me the hardest, that because I know those guys, I've seen those guys. And you know, on one side, your life looks so perfect. On a different side, you know, in the inside, it's not quite there. And so I just felt like I needed to release. I need to tell the world my stuff so it could help me personally by getting it out there instead of keeping it inside. And so that's really how it came about. The pandemic is the one that pushed it. 90 days at home with my kids and not being able to do much. I had to find something to do.
So you wrote a book.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. How many days into it with the kids were you like, I got to write a book?
You know what? I'm very blessed. So we had jet skis, we've had ski boats, and we have our fishing boat behind our house. So we were able, during the pandemic, we were able to do a lot of things.
Nice.
And we have, you know, we're on 3 acres right here. So we had places to ride our bikes and things to do. So luckily we had a playground of our own to do things, even though the pandemic was going on around the world.
You talked about it looks perfect on the outside, but something doesn't feel right on the inside. Can you, because this is such an important topic, not just for me and for you and for the audience. And I got a daughter who's going to play lacrosse at Northwestern, and she, you know, she has some anxiety before games. So I've been really honing in on that with her as well. But can you articulate for people who don't understand what you were feeling on the inside?
Yeah, I mean, it develops. It's one of those things that develops, but it doesn't develop like overnight. I mean, it's a long process of negative thinking, of things going on in your life, and becoming Masters champion from Baghdad, Florida, named Bubba, no lessons. There's a lot of things that start hitting in your head, and like going to, you know, we just adopted my son right before I won the Masters 2 weeks before. So now you're talking about going to Walmart, trying to get diapers and trying to get baby food and trying to get different things that the family needs. And then people are stopping you to take pictures. And so it's just, you let sometimes your ego and your pride takes over, where you think you're on top of the world because you're Masters champion. And then you think like, can I just go to Walmart and pick up this stuff that I need, and get home to my family and my wife. And, so just a lot of things start playing on you. And then when you think you're on top of the world, then you make a 3-putt, then you hit one in the water, then you miss a cut. And then, so now you go from this great high to this bottom low. Well, you think it's a bottom low, right? And really, you know, it's not a bottom low, but you believe it is, right? You believe it in your mind. And, you know, so you go from here to here and back to here, then here. And then, you know, I hate to say it, but then you start listening to social media. Then you start listening to media itself, and then fans yelling out things. I mean, you start hearing it from all angles, and then people that think they're golfers or think they're your friend, they're telling you what they think you should be doing. And so you just start hearing all this buzz in your head, and you don't know what to believe and which way is up and which way is down. You don't know where you're going. And you know, that's what I'm saying. It just kind of builds, and then it blows up. And I mean, as you know, as people have seen in 2016-ish, Well, I mean, I went down to 162 pounds. I fluctuate from 190 to 200 on a good weekend, you know? And so when I got down to that low, obviously there was something. There was no physical, when I say physical, there's no heart problems, no blood problems, no liver problems, kidney problems. It was all mental and was causing me to just eat away inside. And I had to get help and reaching out, like this book, sharing is going to help me. Sharing with other people helps me. And then hopefully we inspire one or two people around the country or world.
Did you know that you had lost that much weight?
Yeah. I mean, you could physically see it, right? If people are like, you look great. So basically they're saying, I'm not fat anymore, I guess. I'm not sure exactly what they're trying to say, but,
right.
But I didn't feel that. I looked at it and it looked like I was sick. I remember 2010 when my dad passed away, bathing him 3 days before he passed away. This grown man who was around my size, 190-ish, and then he was 90 pounds when I bathed him. And so now I could see visions of me looking thinner like he started looking. And so I just, you know, then that brings more drama and more things in your head. And so it's not just the golf, it's other things, right? And then things start, and you're taking it the wrong way. You're not really dealing with it, and you're keeping it in and not sharing it with my wife, not sharing it with my close friends or my team. And so it just keeps eating away. And then finally you come to a breaking point, or I came to a breaking point. And luckily for me, I didn't deal with it with drugs or alcohol. I just ate away at myself. And so then I finally just got man enough to talk to my wife and tell her that I have some issues going on that I need to work through, talk to my team. And I, you know, came to my breaking point, like in the book where I fell down on my knees and said, just take me now. Like, I can't deal with this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to keep seeing myself lose weight. And the doctors say nothing's wrong. And I'm like, well, something's wrong. So
check out his new book, Up and Down, Helpful Victories and Struggles in the Course of Life. What was your wife's response when you finally, when you gathered the strength, or I guess enough strength to be able to tell her, what was her response?
She applauded me for speaking. I mean, she can see, you can see the physical change. So she knew things were going on, and she sees me. She sees how I react. She sees how I do things, especially behind closed doors, right? You know, you always put that smile on out in public eye, but then you really have stuff going on. You're just a human being like everybody else, right? And so there's stuff going on. She can see it. 20 years we've been together, 17 years married. She knows when I have issues. And so being able to talk to her and voice it, it was more not really, it's really just her being a sounding board.
Yeah.
And that gets out of my own head, my own voice. And then I go, wait, that's kind of dumb. Why am I thinking that? And I'm thinking about my beautiful wife and then my beautiful kids. You know, I was so focused on being the best golfer I could be. And I was letting all that other stuff dictate instead of focusing on being the best husband, best dad I could be. So I was dealing with it the wrong way. So she applauded me for speaking up and talking to her. And then she encouraged me to speak out to men. You know, men that I trust, men that I looked up to, men that I thought could help me in this. And it wasn't just her. It was her telling me to reach out to other people that dealt with that.
Have you spoken to Kevin Love or to any of the other athletes that you mentioned? Because I'm someone, too, who has dealt with panic attacks, anxiety attacks. And similar to what you described, you almost feel like you can't say it, right? Because you feel like the people around you will judge you or they'll think lesser of you. And once they came out publicly, it seemed like it really opened the door for other people to talk about it and to realize, wow, like this is exactly what I've been going through. And this helped so many people because it was like an impossible thing for people to vocalize, and you don't want to be vulnerable and you don't want, you know, your coworkers, whoever it is, thinking lesser of you and thinking there's something wrong with you. And they really normalized it and inspired you to write a book. So have you reached out to them? Have you spoken to them about that at all?
I have not spoken to Kevin Love. I've seen him, you know, I met him through basketball, watching basketball courtside with season tickets and things. But Michael Phelps, I've actually reached out to him. I've played some golf with him. You know, I see him in Phoenix or Scottsdale. And so I've actually seen him face to face and talked to him about my book and about my struggles and ask him. We actually were in the Pro-Am last year at Waste Management together for 9 holes. So I spoke to him privately. You know, we slowed down and walked behind everybody else. It just kind of told him what an inspiration he was, not only for his gold medals and being Olympic greatest, but also for him speaking out. And so, yeah, I got to reach out to him and talk to him. And, you know, I have his cell number so I can reach out to him anytime. But
Has this process, like through writing the book, have you gotten to the point where you've kind of like accepted, like, I do belong, like these things that I accomplished, this isn't a fraud thing. This isn't what the commenters were saying. This isn't what the fans were screaming at me. Like, and through writing it, you've been able to kind of accept, yeah, this is me. Like, I deserve this.
Yeah. Hopefully you catch it. You can catch it when it's starting to happen again, or the people around you can kind of see when you're getting too, when you get tired, right? When you start getting tired and you get cranky and, you know, all these different things. That's why I changed to working out harder again. Just trying to get my body in the right place, my mind in the right place. But yeah, I mean, I was so focused, kind of your question there. I was so focused on that I won. Now I need to back it up. Right. But really, why do I need to back it up? You're Masters champion. If you never win again, doesn't mean you're not very good. It means that one week you were the best at that tournament. And it's kind of like a Super Bowl or World Series or NBA championship. I mean, at that moment, you're the best. It doesn't mean you're the best for life. It just means you're the best for that moment. And the problem is I kept my ego and pride got in the way, right? And every time I three putt, hit the water, missed a cut, didn't win, I was like, wait, why am I not winning? Why, you know, then you get frustrated with yourself. So realizing like what's most important in your life, you know, what the goal is to win. But if you don't, it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It doesn't mean I'm not very good at golf. It just means that moment I didn't pull it off. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it's learning all those processes and realizing that you're still human. People make mistakes, not only you, but other people make mistakes. And so you have to learn to accept and then focus on what's most important in your life. And this book was kind of the thing I wanted to inspire. If it was one person or if it helped me, it was worth it.
Bubba, this is fascinating because you were a child prodigy. Everyone expected you to be this great golfer. You are a great golfer. You're a two-time Masters champion, but it seems like that's the tournament that all golfers want to win. Okay. That is it. That's the pinnacle of your sport. And it seems like winning it the first time actually made it worse for you. Made whatever you were dealing with made it worse for you. Is that fair?
Well, it's kind of like his question. When I won it, I was embarrassed. Like, why is Bubba Watson?
Yeah, Bubba, that's nuts, man.
Right. Well, yes. I mean, I've said it many times. I am nuts. But you win it and then people are like, oh my gosh, you won it and you did this and you did that. But it's like in my head, I'm like, I'm embarrassed of the jacket. I hid it. And in 2012, I hid the jacket. I didn't let people see it. I didn't let people take a picture of it. I didn't wear it. And it was more because I just didn't feel like I belonged, right? Like, why am I winning? Why am I think I got to number two in the world at that moment. And think about the great Phil Mickelson, right? Phil Mickelson's won 45, 46, however many times he's won. And now I'm the same as him. He's been the best he's ever got is number two in the world. So now Bubba Watson's two in the world, winning Masters. And I just wanted to back it up. So then I just started doubting myself. Maybe it was a fluke. Maybe it was this. Maybe it was that. Maybe you don't deserve this. Maybe. So you just start going down this rabbit hole of negativity. So it's the first year was definitely crazy. And I mean, just everything. It's a whirlwind of what happens the week after and then on from there.
Did the second one help you in terms of it validated you winning the first one? Did that help?
Yes, it did. So that was 2014, 2 years yeah. later, I win it. And I took the jacket and let people see it. I took it to junior events. I took it some clinics I did. Took it to every school that I went to. And then, but again, it goes back to that you win and then you start doubting yourself again. You know, like, why can't I win again? Why am I not winning? So 2015 happens and 16, I wanted the Olympics to get to where my low point in my life. I've had a few, but this is really the lowest, I guess. You know, trying to make the Olympics. And now I want to be like Michael Phelps, right? I want to be like Michael Jordan. I want to be like these people that have won gold medals and make the Olympics. Olympics was never in golf, never in my eyes because of golf. And now trying to make that team, trying to make the Ryder Cup team at the same time, I started putting so much pressure on myself and I just kept going this way. My energy, my stress level, everything was going that way. My wife knew it. My kids probably could feel it. You know, they were young, but they could probably feel it. And just everything around me was just different because I kept again, pride and ego gets in the way and I wanted to be the best. I wanted everybody to see that Bubba was great at golf. And I kept losing points, kept falling down the Ryder Cup, falling down the world ranking around 2015-ish, 2016, when Olympics happen. I made the Olympics, but at what cost, really, when you think about it?
When did you start up and down, victories and struggles in the course of life? Bubba Watson with us, two-time Masters champion. This is fascinating stuff to me. When did you start to make the turn the other way, where you felt like you belonged, you felt like you deserved these green jackets? Like, was there a defining moment for you? Like, hey, I belong, I'm good, I'm on the right path here. I know it's a constant struggle. I know you're dealing with it on a daily basis. But when did you kind of, for lack of a better term, I'll use a golf term, when did you make the turn where Bubba Watson started feeling a bit better about himself?
So there's two parts to that, which you just asked. The golf in general, like, I mean, there's a lot of great players. Then why did Bubba win twice? So that's not a mental thing. That's just, I'm asking the question, why, you know, like, why aren't these great champions like Steve Stricker? Steve Stricker is amazing talent. He's had some struggles, came back better than ever, but he's never won a major on the PGA Tour, but he's a great talent, right? Ryder Cup champion now and all these things. But so now when you think about, when I went down to my knees, when I saw 162 on the scale, I just turned and I'm 12, 15 feet from my bed. So I came out of the bathroom and I just fell to my knees and said, take me now. Like, I don't want to go through this. And so really talking right then, when I can hear the voice in my head and, you know, my wife's in the other room, my kids are in the other room and I'm sitting there going, okay, take me now. But let's say you have 10 more minutes to, there's no other way to say it, 10 more minutes to live. I want it to be the best 10 minutes of my wife's life. I want her to realize, like, I'm here. I've got 10 more minutes. I want you to find a great man better than me. I want you to find somebody that loves our kids. You know, just started going through all these things in my head. Then I said, well, if you got 30 minutes, if this is the longest, is my stomach, my heart, I felt like I was having heart attacks, right, when these things happen. And so I was like, man, if this is the longest heart attack, what if it lasts 30 minutes? Then I got 30 minutes to bless my wife, bless my kids. And then I was like, what if the doc says I have now 6 months to live and a year to live? So I just, in my head, it started making sense in my head. And that's how I got up off the floor, is like going, well, hold on a second. If this is the last I have, then let's go make it the best that I have. And so that's what got me off. It wasn't about golf. It wasn't about getting better at golf. It wasn't about putting better. It was none of that. It was just about my own family, my own friends. And like you said, I'm still going to have bad moments. I'm going to have hiccup moments in my life. I'm going to have some down, really down times, hopefully a lot more positive than down. And so that's really what got me off and changed my mindset, is like, okay, you got to learn to catch this. Why did this start? And then you dig back in your life and start looking at like the Ryder Cup, the Olympics, and where did you start going wrong? And where did you start thinking? Why did you change your thinking? You know, and you start processing that. And hopefully my team and me and my wife, we can catch it before it happens again, or before I start spiraling that way. But that's what pulled me up, is that my own thoughts in my head started talking about, well, how am I going to be better for my kids? How am I going to be better for my wife if I have only a few days or a few moments to live? And so that's really what jumped me off the floor at that moment. And that's what's propelled me this way. Now, don't get me wrong. Since that time, I've had a lot of moments. But, you know, I think I've had more better moments than bad moments.
Bubba, have you noticed more people are now willing to approach you since you've gone public with your issues and the book coming out? I mean, how much does it help to talk to someone who's going through similar things, both for you and for people who approach you?
Yeah. You know, again, like I said about my wife, that's a great question. What I said about my wife, she's a sounding board. So when somebody approaches me, a volunteer at tournaments, it could be a sponsor at a tournament, it could be a fan at a tournament, or another player. Not going to call anybody's names, but there's people that have reached out to me and asked me questions. And it's really, I'm a sounding board. I want to inspire them. And really, when it comes down to it, all I can say to them is I'll pray for them, right? Like because their situation, it's the same, but it's going to always be different, right? Because it could be family members that are causing it. It could be so many things in somebody's life. But all you can do is be there for them. And yes, they've reached out more than I ever expected. And how many people are truly going through something is astronomical. I mean, I mean, 99% of the people in the world are probably going through something and they don't want to share. Because it's kind of like adoption. You asked these questions earlier. Adoption was like a stigmatism back in the 70s and 80s. You know, people didn't talk about being, adopting kids and different things. But now I think adoption is I wouldn't say cool. That's not the right word to say it, but a great thing. People see it as a great thing. And I think the mental stuff, it's just now coming in the open, where now it's not going to be like, you're less of a man because you spoke up, like you need help. And I think sometimes we put that on ourselves, where we think we're going to be less of a man if we don't speak up and don't seek help. So yeah, it's been inspiring where people have come to me and asked me questions and said, thank you for speaking up. It helped my son, or it helped me. It's been amazing going to golf tournaments now. And like I said, sponsors of major tournaments, volunteers, fans, and players as well, caddies. Yeah, it's pretty much everybody across the board is been pretty cool about it and speaking up about it.
I would imagine that that's rewarding for you, like on two fronts, right? Because you, one, get to help others through your own struggles. And at the same time, while talking these things out and helping people through these experiences, you're also reminding yourself and walking through this on yourself and getting yourself back to being centered and not losing sight of what's important to you, because you're telling them to do the same, essentially.
Right. I mean, we need to be a big family, right? We all want love. We all want respect, however that love looks. I mean, respect and love. And so for me, yeah, I mean, it gives me a chance to let stuff out, but it also, I get to hear other people, and maybe I learn something from them when they speak out to me, right? And trying to say I'm an inspiration, but then I hear something that they say and that does make sense. So maybe I should start thinking about that. So yeah, I mean, you're trying to help everybody. But yeah, at the same time, you want to be a sounding board and you want to learn from them and they learn from me. So yeah, you're right. It's a cool thing. It does make me feel good. But voicing, you know, everybody needs it. And it makes me feel good because I do get to voice my own issues. Sometimes my wife might not like it because I voice a lot, but it's been good for us. And I think it's been good for everybody that hears my story.
Up and down, victories and struggles in the course of life. Bubba, if you had to take that shot, were you in a position 2 years before when you won the first Masters to hit the shot that you hit in the second Masters on the 13th hole? It was an amazing pitch, one of the great shots I've ever seen. Led to an eagle, led to your second Masters championship. Would you have been able to hit that shot, process, go through that shot 3 years before that, let's say?
No, I mean, I think there's things that... that happened over the course. I mean, 2010, when me and Martin Keimer had the playoff at Whistling Straits, and I hit a shot thinking I was going to be able to hit this shot. You know, I'm this young kid with thinks that I have muscles. I was going to hit this shot. I remember a 6-iron out of the rough, came up short in the water, and make a double bogey, lose by one in the playoff. And so, you know, it's remembering those shots. It's trying to learn from those shots. More mature in shots like that. And so I think over the course of my career, I've learned a little bit. So I think, you know, winning in 2010, if I would have won in 2010 at Whistling Straits, who knows where my life would be. The struggles might've happened sooner. Giving myself 2 years, my dad passing away, learning about that, learning about what's so important in life, started me on the right process. For 2012 and then 2014. And then obviously my low point in my life, I mean, I came out of it, but, you know, you learn a lot about yourself in certain situations. And hopefully 5 years from now, if we do another interview, hopefully I'm still growing and going the right direction.
But people see Bubba Watson, like they see it on the surface, fun, right? They see fun. Here's a fun guy. He owns a General Lee. Okay. Like the guy bought the and you mentioned your backyard earlier and how you got through the pandemic and that would help get you through the pandemic. I want the fun side of Bubba Watson right now. Paint a picture of that backyard for us, because it sounds like the most amazing thing ever. I mean, it does.
I mean, you know, we have, the pavers around the yard, probably almost a half a mile of pavers. So the way that the yard is, we have an indoor, it was a boathouse for the gentleman I bought it from, but we turned it into indoor pickleball, basketball. The old man shuffleboard, you know, with the old stick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I have the shuffleboard. We have... four square and two square, the old bounce in the ball game. So with the pavers, we could ride a half a mile on our bikes. We never left our yard. Right. And so we could do all these things and never have to have contact with other people during this crazy pandemic. And then, you walk past the pool and then it's about 60 yards past the pool is the water and the fence. So that's where our ski boat is, our ski nautique, where we wake surf. I love wake surfing. And so off the bayou, and then have a Grady White fishing boat, 32 foot. So we can go from the bayou out to the bay, Escambia Bay, where the Blue Wahoos hit home runs into the Escambia Bay.
Nice.
And then we go, and then we have the Gulf of Mexico. I don't go in the Gulf, though, by the way. I'm scared to go out in the Gulf. I can't see land. I feel like I'm not supposed to be out there. And so so we stay in the bay, but we go snapper fishing. It's easiest for the kids, where you just drop the line about 50 feet down. And then there's dolphins all the time. So during our pandemic, it was probably some of the best times our families ever spent together. It was a blast.
The house you speak of, it's Tiger's house, right? It's Tiger's old house, correct?
No, that was, okay. Man, that was a long time ago, man. I've had 11 houses since then.
My bad, man. I feel like I offended you, Mike. Go ahead.
No. I was like, man, that was so long ago.
11 houses ago. Stop moving, man.
Exactly. I just love it, man.
Mikey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You have all these, you got a place just for shuffleboard and pickleball and all this stuff. What's the game besides golf that Bubba Watson can't lose at?
That's any game. It doesn't matter what it is. You know what I'm saying? So it's so funny. So we had a friend over, and his wife, we didn't know at the time his wife was pregnant, but she said she didn't feel good. That's all she said to us. And we're like, okay. And I was like, hey, you could be on my team, because I didn't think her husband was that good at sports. So Angie and him and me and her, and we were playing pickleball. And finally she was like, I just don't feel good. And you know, she was my teammate. And I was like, okay, well, can I take over? And she goes, yeah. And we were losing at that time. But I was like, I was going to die on that court. There's no chance I was losing pickleball to these two people. One was my wife and one was another friend. But yeah, when it comes to sports, the craziness takes over. And I really think I'm good at basketball when I'm not, but I think right. I am. I think I'm good at tennis, but I'm not, but I think I am. So we have some heat. Me and my wife have some heated battles. When we were at the Solheim Cup a couple weeks ago, we played ping pong. They had these little miniature ping pong tables. It was like half the size of a normal one. And that day we'd all start watching, because me and Angie would start playing, and we were yelling. She was throwing stuff. I mean, so we just get heated, because she's an athlete. So yeah. So when it comes to anything, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be swimming, who has the best looking dive. It doesn't matter what it is.
You're not going to let your kids win anything, are you?
No, I don't let them score in basketball. I mean, I slap that ball so far out of there.
Yeah, wait, exactly. Wait, you send balls back into the crowd? Like, that's how hard you're rejecting them?
Oh yeah. You got to teach them. My dad did that to me. You got to learn. This is no ribbon. You don't get a participation ribbon. There's no such thing as that.
Oh, my God.
They're going to earn it.
I love you, Bubba Watson. I really do. I listen, I'm a lefty. I'm a golfer. I love golf, okay? And there's so many people trying to put so many things into your head. This is how you swing the club. This is how you hold the club. What I love about you is you said F them a long time ago, okay? And I think I once heard you say something. I need your help here, Bubba, is where this is all leading to. Everyone's body is different. There's no exact right way to hold a club. Find what's comfortable and let it rip. Is that fair? Mm-hmm. I need some advice.
Yes, for sure. So, my wife played in the WNBA, played 3 years overseas. So when she started playing golf, she said, I need lessons. And I said, why? When you shot a free throw, you just shot free throws. And then it started, you know, as a kid, you throw it with two hands, and then you get older or more stronger, however you want to word it. And so I said, well, play your slice. Mark Calcavecchia played a slice his whole career. He was pretty good. You know, he won multiple times. And so I said, just play it. And whatever that feels like, use it. So as an athlete, you got to remember the feeling, and then stick with it, and then just play it. Aim it to the left, for her being righty, aim it to the left and slice it back to the fairway. And she shot 71, and after months of practice, and then she wanted lessons. And I was like, well, just go get lessons. And then it's been a struggle ever since. But so what I'm getting at is, you know, some people need talk. They need some pointers. But then true athletes can go out there and figure it out on their own. And you seem like a true athlete. So you just go out there and rip it and have fun with it, you know?
Yeah. That's what they say about me, Bubba. I'm a true athlete. Up and down, victories and struggles in the course of life. We'll get you out of here in just a second. The book is out now, so get it wherever books are sold. Where is the General Lee right now? Where is that thing?
Well, I'm going to be dead honest. You're the first person that's asked me this question in a long time.
Okay.
So the General Lee is gone. It is somewhere in Texas. I gave the keys. I literally gave the keys to my team. I said, I don't want to know where it is. I don't want to know the name of the people. I said, but I need to get rid of it. And the reason why is because, again, it goes back to social media and media. And there was a lot of things I had to deal with that aren't true, but people put that on me, even though it's not true. And then when I think about my kids growing up, I don't need them having to deal with that stuff, right? They're already going to have enough being adopted kids. They're going to already have enough issues that we got to work through. And so I don't know the man's name. I don't know where it is, what part. Texas is big enough. I said, you can tell me what state. And so they told me Texas, and that's all I know. So it's been gone for a few months. But I just felt like it was time with my mental stuff going on and everything going on. I need to just get rid of it and let somebody else deal with it. And so that's really what happened. So I lost money on that deal, but it was fun though.
But what you knew is that you just needed to get rid of it. That's it.
Yeah, wasn't. And I know in my heart and I know in my mind, I bought it because me and my dad watched the show. We watched Knight Rider. We watched Dukes of Hazzard. We watched A-Team. And then Airwolf came out for a couple seasons. And so, you know, it's one of those lifetime dreams that it came available and they accepted my bid and I won it. Who doesn't want a car that jumps, right? And so, but it was too much on my mind and my heart every time something came up with racism and stuff. And I couldn't personally deal with it anymore.
Bubba, in 2013, you were named a Great Floridian. Some other Great Floridians are Walt Disney, Steve Spurrier, Tim Tebow, and Harry S. Truman. How does someone approach you to ask you if you want to become a Great Floridian?
That's one they didn't really ask. You know, when a government or Congress or representatives of Florida, you know, they ask you to come to Tallahassee, the state capital. I think it's the state capital.
It is.
And so they ask you.
You're a Great Floridian. You should know.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I threw that in. I knew y'all would appreciate that. So I threw that in. So when they ask you to come, yeah. So it was, you know, it's an honor and a privilege, you know, this is where I'm from in Baghdad, you know, the village of Baghdad got signs up about me too. But yeah, it's an honor and a privilege to be. I mean, when you name those names, those people have actually done some great things in their life. And all I've done is just never had a lesson. So,
right. That's exactly right. You never had a lesson. God, two-time master champion. That drives me crazy. Billy, how do I get on that list?
I think you're going to make the cut.
Wait, so I know you love singing. I know you love music. You're in a band with Ricky Fowler. It's all for charity. It's fantastic. And I'll get you out of here in a second, I promise. What's the go-to karaoke song for Bubba Watson?
Oh, wow. Right now, I'm going to be dead honest with you. I don't like country music. You heard that first. A guy named Bubba does not like country music. But there is a song. I don't know who sings it, but Fancy Like. So my kids are singing this country song named Fancy Like. It's almost like rap music. I love beats. My head, I love beats. And so one line, he says, bougie like Natty in a styrofoam cup. And anybody that knows my dad before he passed away, he called it the beer store, but he went to the Tom Thumb store or the gas station. He asked for the cheapest beer, which was Natty Light.
Of course.
And then he went, or Natural Light, whatever you want to word it. But and then he would ask for the cheapest cigarettes. He always said he's going to die on a discount. And not saying that was a great saying, but that's what he said. And so me and my mom, we talk about that song because we can picture my dad and my wife can picture my dad. My kids weren't around at that moment, but all the people around me can picture my dad with a styrofoam cup. He always had a styrofoam cup, junior golf tournaments. I'm letting the cat out of the bag, but junior golf tournaments, he was faking it. That wasn't like a Coke. That was real stuff. Right. And so that song right now hits me. My kids dance to it. There's a little dance and they talk about Applebee's. And I mean, that song comes on, it means more than because of just the funny moments of remembering my dad with a styrofoam cup in his hand and definitely Natty Light for sure.
Natty Light, up and down, victories and struggles in the course of life. Bubba Watson, we appreciate your courage. We appreciate you sharing your story with us. We appreciate you trying to help others. It's super important that that people who are going through this hear from people like you. We appreciate you, man. And I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, man, thank you.
Watching you win those two green jackets was, listen, you might not be able to take one of them out. Have you taken the other one out yet, by the way? Are you proud of it yet?
Yeah. And so in 2000, so you get it for a year. So in 2014, I took it out, let people see it, let people take pictures with it, you know, especially kids, right? Because I want to inspire kids from a small town like I was from to get outside, not just to be a golfer, but to improve their life and improve their, their spot.
Excellent. I was going to say, because I know a man that would gladly show it off for you if you were too embarrassed to take that.
Exactly.
All right. Good luck with the book, man. And thank you for sharing your story. This was this was fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thank y'all.
All right. Thanks to Bubba Watson for joining us. That was a real thrill for me. I hope you enjoyed that. Go buy his book. For me, with that being my favorite sporting event, to be able to sit there on Zoom face-to-face with a two-time Masters champion was a thrill. So we appreciate his time. Again, go buy his book. Thanks to Bubba for giving us so much of his time. Thanks to Mikey A. and Billy Gill, as always. Always appreciate all of their help. Listen, check us out. God Bless Football this Friday and every Friday. We are going to be joined this week, as we normally are, by Chris Sims and by Mike Golick. We have Mojo back. We have Chris Gronkowski back. And we also have Jonathan Chamberlain. God Bless Football. Stupidity. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't: the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.